The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 7 minutes after 12 midday. Man in Line is with you through till 1 o'clock today. Open line on 66 13 68. Text 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Talk a bit about food today and anything else that's on your mind, but I just want to reiterate about that serious road traffic collision that happened yesterday on Lazare Road at the junction of Gardner's Lane at 10 to 3. Now, police confirmed to Manx Radio the man was a pedestrian and struck by a vehicle. Now, if you witnessed what happened, if you saw that, if you were around there, maybe even not at the spot but close by, the roads policing unit would like to hear from anybody who witnessed yesterday afternoon. That 70-year-old man's been flown to the UK for medical treatment after a serious road traffic collision yesterday. Lazare Road, junction with Gardner's Lane, 10 to 3 yesterday afternoon. He was a pedestrian struck by a vehicle, and the roads policing unit at headquarters 631212. If you can get in touch, they'd just like to put as much information together as possible for it. The Isle of Man's meat plant needs investment from you, the taxpayer, if it's to survive, according to a former farmer and auctioneer. Everybody knows Keith Carouche. Timmel prepares to discuss a report recommending that Treasury takes over the running of the meat plant from DEFA, the Department for Environment, Food and Agriculture, and Treasury will complete reforming how the meat plant is run. This is Keith Carouche, and I just wonder what your thoughts are.
The fact is, if we prefer to see animals processed here in the Isle of Man to avoid total shipment, there has to be support from the taxpayer. The debate is whether the plant should be overseen by DEFA or Treasury.
There's a report that's being presented to Timwald in November and actually makes that recommendation. What do you think of that personally from your experience?
I think the danger is that Treasury will shoot it down in flames in a matter of weeks and say we can't afford to run it, so all livestock must move live on boats out of the Isle of Man, and that's the end of the Manx plant, unless Treasury are willing to address the fact that it's a non-economic, very small plant, beleaguered by the retailers dumping in the Isle of Man.
What would be the detriment of it closing down completely?
There's a shipping cost of about £15 a sheep and about anything £150 plus on cattle. So it would hit the farmer's pocket, and the public at large, I think, are concerned about the welfare of animals, and it would mean 6,000 cattle a year being on the boat and a large number of lambs and the freight cost at about £4,000 a truck. So it just would mean a lesser figure for the Isle of Man, and the retailers would probably import even more than they do now.
Is there a solution to this?
The whole issue sits in with the retailers, really, and the government are nervous about trying to stop this import of meat because we want to export meat. So we're on hiding to nothing to say keep them out altogether. But it would be desirable if the whole lot, Tesco, Marks, everything, if they just did not import meat in the Isle of Man.
Well, we're caught in a pincer movement, aren't we? Consumers want the cheapest possible price for meat. And here we have the meat plant on the Isle of Man. But there are the numbers from Keith Carouche, unequivocal, really. £15 per head of sheep, £150 per head of cattle. We'd be exporting 6,000 head of cattle and lambs as well, and we'd be paying £4,000 per truck in export, exporting live animals if the meat plant goes. So is it down to, Keith Carouche said, beleaguered by the retailers, i.e. meat being dumped on the Isle of Man, and being dumped cheaply on the Isle of Man, so the consumer can buy cheap meat. So is it the consumer who's got the answer to this? Is it the retailer? Is it Treasury? Is it DEFA? Who is it? Because at some point, the meat plant will need investment from the taxpayer. That's you, by the way, and me. I'd like your thoughts and exactly what it is. We're heading into a point now where gas prices are going up, and electricity is going up, capped, albeit. Oil's gone up, the cost of living has gone up, and the cost of meat has gone up. And in the middle of it sits our own meat plant, sits there in Tramode, doing the job. So what are your thoughts on the matter? If you're in the industry, by the way, we'd be really interested to hear what you have to say if you're in the meat industry itself. Text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. That's the start of the end of the MGP, says this correspondent, 692. The so-called consultation, I think, was a loaded questionnaire to get you to agree with their mandate. And it appears that opinion is to get rid of the MGP, as all the spectators hated it. Most won't be coming back. Nobody wants to come and watch two lap races with 20 bikes. RIP the MGP, says Dave. So if you've not spotted this story, the 2023 dates for the MGP have been announced. 100th anniversary next year. The Motorcycle Festival celebrates 100th anniversary. The 2023 MGP takes place from Sunday the 20th of August to Bank Holiday, August Bank Holiday, Monday the 28th of August. Qualifying will begin on the opening day with racing due on Friday the 25th. So qualifying starts on Sunday the 20th, racing on the 25th, concluding on Monday the 28th. A contingency session is going to be available on Tuesday 29th, should there be any postponements or delays to the schedule. Now, the contingency session will be available, and organisers say that next year will also include an additional programme of special events to mark the centenary. Details of them and the full event schedule will be released soon. John McBride is the chair of the Manx Motorcycle Club and says there was an overwhelmingly positive response from marshals, officials and riders and teams to the condensed five-race programme. John McBride says the MGP relies on the commitment of volunteers and believes the new format ensures all elements can be delivered with the full support of those critical organisations. Time moves on, and the MGP has been remodeled. Obviously, whenever anything changes, there are varying opinions. But we'll have to see, and no doubt the steam packet will be telling us what the forward booking is for MGP 2023. Lots more things to talk about. There's some. I've got some notes in regarding unruly behaviour, antisocial behaviour at Paul Rose. But talking of food, and we've talked about the meat plant, but I want to talk about seafood. And David Quillen, a petition critical of a £10,000 fine imposed on David Quillen, a Port Erin lobster fisherman, is to be presented to the Speaker of the House of Keys, Juan Waters. And David Quillen was prosecuted after 17 lobsters in his catch of 139 were found to be millimetres under the minimum size. David Quillen, who's been a respected member of the fishing industry for 45 years, played a key role into the introduction of hatches into lobster pots to enable young lobsters to escape, till his prosecution, David Quillen, 45 years, unblemished record. David Quillen says, well, he thinks the fine is excessive. The petitioners think the fine of £10,000 was just too much.
To be honest, I couldn't believe it that after my long career in the fishing that I would be treated in this abysmal manner for the 0.6 of a millimetre, which is easy enough for these chaps to measure on a stable key on a fine day, which it was, and they're wearing glasses, and even they were unable to accurately measure at times because they were passing back lobsters to me that they'd suddenly decided were big enough.
You've been in the business 45 years. You have a completely clean record. And I think what maybe people don't realise is you were one of the people responsible for introducing the, I don't know what the term is, escape hatch for small lobsters into the lobster pots, which must have saved thousands of young lobsters.
Yes, and either call them escape hatches or escape panels, which allows certain smaller creatures under the legal size to escape. And over the years, this has allowed probably tens of thousands of these little creatures to come in, have their meal, and then depart by the escape panel.
Your complaint about this is that the penalty was, in fact, draconian. And there's a lot of people down here that seem to agree. You've got a petition running at the moment, and quite a lot of people have signed that petition. What's the next stage with that?
Well, I intend that this petition to be presented to Mr. John Watterson, the Speaker of the Keys, to see if he can get any retribution in this case, which I feel is over the top and draconian. I have no intention of going back to court on that circumstances with an advocate, because we've already spent a large amount of money on advocates' fees.
A £10,000 fine is an enormous amount of money. Has that affected your life since that event?
Well, I suppose at 77, I might be looking shortly to retire. And I mean, looking at this, I've worked a lot of my life for nothing, just for somebody to come along and take a lot of it away. I would have thought that a slap on the wrist and maybe a verbal warning would have been ample in this case. And if you do it again, you know what's for you.
What are your thoughts on this? So 1977, David Quillen started, 45 years in the business, and that £10,000 fine. Responding to the court case at the time, the DEFA member, Dr. Michelle Haywood, MHK, told Manx Radio that DEFA had no role in setting the penalty. It was the role of the officers to detect and highlight when the law had been broken. She said the fine in Mr. Quillen's case was relative to the size, to the value of the catch and the severity of the infringement, which had involved several undersized lobsters, 17 out of 139. So, just two stories highlighting the food on the Isle of Man and the industry of food on the Isle of Man. So, thoughts on David Quillen, those undersized lobsters, £10,000 fine, and the meat plant and the public money that's going to be involved. And exactly, this is a multi-sided problem with the meat plant. I mean, whose responsibility do you think it is? Robert's with us regarding this. Hi, Robert.
Hello. It's not so much the meat plant. It's that my father brought us back to the Isle of Man in 1969. You know? Now, I'm 71 now. But I remember, like, I got married in 1971, and I started for the first time noticing the price of meat, you know, how expensive it was, you know, and I went across to work for a while, sending the money back, you know, and what I did notice was over there, right, a few places sold Manx meat. And they were selling it about a third of the price of what it was in the Isle of Man where they were selling it to us.
Whereabouts was this, Robert?
At that time, I was in Liverpool.
Okay.
And I came back to the Isle of Man then, but I went away again in 1980 when there was no work. I went to Germany for a few years and worked on the Docklands then and whatever, right, you know, made some money and that sort of thing. When I came back to the Isle of Man in 2008 to retire, I found that the Manx meat didn't have any, what do you call it, you know, saturated fats and all this sort of thing listed on them, which is law in England that you have to have them listed on them. So I had previously found that I had high cholesterol. Instead of taking the statins or something like that, I changed my lifestyle and what I was eating. So whatever I bought, I looked at the nutrition values on it. So since I've been back, I haven't bought any Manx meat because it doesn't have any of that on it. But I buy my meat mainly in the co-op.
So, what do you think, Robert? Do you think we should keep the meat plant? It's going to keep public, it needs public money for it to continue. But do you think we should have a Manx meat industry?
Of course I do, but you should have the same things, right? Where they've got to put the nutritional values on the packets or the sealed packages of the meat. The same as they have to do that in England, or they're not allowed to sell it, you know? In the other man, it doesn't matter. They just sell the meat, they don't tell you any. I don't eat meat, I don't know what's in it.
Okay, all right, Robert, I appreciate that. Several points in there. Thanks for that, Robert. Interesting, the fact it was sold at a third of the price in Liverpool than it was in the Isle of Man. What do we do about it? Thank you, Robert, for that. Follow New Zealand's move, says Charles, who dropped a note in just to say, no live exports from April from New Zealand. Live exports are cruel. We have an advantage of good animal welfare on the Isle of Man, of course, and more importantly nowadays, or as important, low food miles. So surely the answer is to keep our animals on the Isle of Man and keep the meat processing plant. It's going to cost money. And really, again, what part do the retailers play in this? You hear what Keith Carouche said about what part the retailers actually play in this particular equation. Sean's with us now. Hi, Sean.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Hi, good, thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, this meat plant, it's the old story rumbling on again about the meat plant.
Yeah,
Keith Carouche is 100% right in what he says. He was a lot of the meetings back in 15 years ago or more when they introduced the countryside care scheme. He was also, quite vocal about how the scheme was going to ruin Manx agriculture, but DEFA, or DAF, whatever they were called in them days, still went ahead with the scheme. And they were warned that this is what the Isle of Man would be like in 15 years' time. We lost the red meat derogation in Brussels. Brussels didn't even know we had a red meat derogation back then. But and I've spoken to one of your comrades from Manx Radio, Mr. Gorn, about this recently. And when they went to Brussels, they didn't even know we had a red meat derogation. So they could have carried it on where 80% was supplied locally from the meat plant and 20% was allowed to be imported. And that was allowed because Brussels agreed with it many, many years ago. But of course, somebody raised their head above a parapet and said, oh, we've got a red meat derogation. They said, well, how have you got a red meat derogation? You shouldn't have one. But if it had said nothing, Brussels wouldn't have been any the wiser. So that's ruined Manx agriculture to the state that we're in now. And also DEFA, they don't want farmers. They want two or three big dairy farms, two or three big sheep farms, two or three big beef farms. They can control them. We've got a head of DEFA, head of agriculture in DEFA, who was the top man in Tesco's. I'm not going to name him because he knows who he is and everybody else knows who he is in the industry. He refused to stock Manx meat when he was a boss of Tesco's. And now he's head of agriculture. How on earth can that be allowed to happen?
What part do the retailers play in this?
Well, they should be, when Tesco came, they should have been told, and the other supermarkets are equally to blame, they should have been told, you've got to stock Manx meat first. When you run out of Manx meat, then you can import your meat. Because the Manx meat is reared to the red tractor standard, which is, you would not believe the paperwork and the standard that's got to be lived up to. This stuff coming in from God knows where, it could be Australian, could be Irish, as long as it's cut up in Ireland, it can be called Irish beef. If it's cut up in England, it can be called UK beef or UK meat. Doesn't matter where it comes from before that. It could come from Uganda, it could come from the feedlots in Brazil. If it's butchered in the UK, it can be called UK meat. And that comes in at half the price of the Manx meat. That's why Manx meat looks expensive. It's a loss leader in a lot of these supermarkets. And Keith was right about the boat. And is one thing I will pull him up on is price of a boat for an Arctic lorry full of cattle or sheep leaving the Isle of Man, return trip, they've got to come in empty. The return trip is about £5,000 plus what the haulier charges for the hire of that lorry. It comes in like last night, gets loaded up this morning, out in the morning boat. And also the animal welfare. These boys on the wagons, and I'm one of them, not on the Arctics from across, but I'm a livestock haulier as well. We all know what we're doing. We know how many stock to put in each box safely for their welfare. You get three or four of them wagons on the boat in the summer going across if the meat plant closes, and you've got little Timmy in the car sat alongside looking up and you see the little lambs looking out and the cattle looking out. You're only going to get a few weeks of that before the general public kick up a fuss, aren't you?
Oh, you think there'll be a psychological barrier to that?
Oh, there definitely will be. There definitely will be, because I've been there on the boat with cows going off to sales and all, and people saying, where are those cows going? Where are those cows going? Well, they're going to a dairy cow sale down in Cheshire. Oh, that's all right. We thought they were going off to, you know, wherever. It is, and, you know, and quite rightly so, because, you know, these animals on the island, they only have to travel 20 miles at the most to get to our meat plant. We need that meat plant. You get a week of bad weather, and nothing moves off the Isle of Man. We need a meat plant, but we also need help with the shipping costs for all the farmers on the island and all the other industries. Now, I spoke to Claire Barber on your programme about 3 months ago. She was going to go and speak to DfE about discussing prices for commodities on the boat. Nothing's heard of it, is it? It's a year since she was elected. You know, they own the steam packet. It's at arm's length. Fair enough, it's at arm's length. But if they reduce the prices for everything, not just for the farmers, for the builders, for everybody else in the Isle of Man, for Tesco's and all them, you'd get twice as many movements on that boat. The boat would be full going backwards and forwards, so they wouldn't lose any money. They would keep the same amount of money and probably make more money.
So what's your message to the politicians, Sean?
Well, they're not going to listen anyway, are they? But we need a meat plant. We need a sustainable agricultural industry where you know exactly. I'm parked in Balafi and I'm looking across the field of dairy cows. And that's another point. There's two or three dairy herds ready to pack up now. One finished last week. In a very short time, with the costs of everything, costs of shipping stuff, feed to the Isle of Man, etc., and fertiliser, they're going to be looking for milk. They're going to be importing more milk. So, you know, there's a whole raft of things here. And Claire Barber needs to wake up and smell the coffee.
I've heard anecdotally that, I mean, there are farmers who are struggling. There are people that are close to going out of business.
Definitely.
So why on earth isn't the farming industry banging the drum and making more noise about the fact that they're in financial pain?
Because a lot of them are proud, aren't they? A lot of the farmers are proud. They don't want to admit they're struggling. We've got an organisation which should be banging the drum. That's what we pay our subs to. But like you say, there's not a word out of them. It's left to the likes of me and a few others coming on, you know, to make these noises. We all know what's going on in the industry ourselves because we're all talking about it. I was talking to a dairy farmer today and he said he's fed up. He's going to pack up. And he's a young lad. And I said, no, keep going. Because you've got to, you know, and I don't know his financial situation. He could be up to his eyes in debt, but, you know, you've got to keep farming over here. There's no two ways about it. But the politicians, needless, we've got Tim Johnson in there, former farmer. We've got other fellows in there, very clever people in there. But they're just not making a noise. They're just sitting back. They're on that gravy train. And I hate to say it because, you know, we've got some good people in there. But, you know, the way things are going, and I keep saying it's going to be a tough winter, there's, you know, there just needs to be a bit more, you know, pick up from the politicians. You know, it shouldn't be left to little old me to come on and spout my, you know, I'll be chastised for saying some of the wrong things. But, you know, it's got to be said, hasn't it?
It has. No, Sean, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling today.
Okie dokie. Thanks now.
Good to hear from you. Dave's with us now on Man in Line. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing? Yes, sir.
Fine, thanks.
I'd just like to speak about David Quillen.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely appalling what's happened. And I don't know whether the public know, but a millimetre, if we go back to the old imperial measures which was used, a millimetre is only 0.039 of an inch.
Right. Not much, then.
Not a lot. It's to give it in context, it's about the... just smaller than the gap in a spark plug.
And as David Quillen said, they were doing it in fine weather on a quayside.
That's right. And it's hard enough to measure a millimetre if you're on a bench in an engineering shop. So, you know, these guys. The other thing is that what are DEFA doing with regards to these people who go down and taking lobsters, which you do, out of the holes, you know, at low tide?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Now, a lot of those, I know for a fact, are getting sold into restaurants, and some of them are undersized.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
And also, I think it's absolutely disgusting when you look at a fine of £10,000, you look at what some guy gets if he's got found with drugs on him, he gets a suspended sentence. There's no parity with it.
I think everybody was shocked by the fact, £10,000?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, what sort of message? I mean, were they doing that to send a message out?
I don't know what they were doing, but they want to get their act together. And for Miss Haywood, for the MHK, she's the MHK for the area. She should be listening to them and helping them instead of cutting on the back foot and copping out again.
Well, we'll see what happens. But I think most people who are not involved in the industry just look at this and kind of narrow their eyes and think, you know, what exactly is going on in this? Is there an undercurrent? Is there a culture of people, as you say, getting undersized lobsters and selling them, and they're just trying to pick on somebody and give them a £10,000 fine? But I mean, this man's been in the industry for close on 50 years.
He has, and I know him personally. And I tell you now, I know him personally. I've known him for years. And he's an honest man. And you know, for somebody to come along like that, I mean, if it was a big quarter of an inch, that's fair enough. But 39 thou, and that's what it is, 30.039 thou, is absolutely disgusting.
Okay.
And they want their heads examined.
All right. We appreciate your call.
I would give them a lesson in how to read a vernier, because that's what they were using. And I just can't understand it.
I think
it's terrible.
Thanks for calling today.
Okay.
Good to hear from you. I want to go to Steve now on Manx Radio. Hi, Steve.
How are you doing, Andy?
Fine.
I totally agree with those last two callers. They're talking about Manx problems. Now, what I would like to ask is, and would you ask this question for me and see what happens, why is our Chief Minister, Mr. Alfred Cannon, going to Bahrain and then going to South Africa in November? What monetary value to the Isle of Man is that going to bring?
I think he's trying to drum up business.
Well, wouldn't it be better if, as the Chief Minister of the Isle of Man, he got his own house in order first, before he went swanning off looking for money from other countries? Let's get the Isle of Man sorted out first, and then, if there's any time left for these international little jaunts, crack on. But at the moment, we're in a fuel, food, and basically poverty crisis, and he feels the need to go to Bahrain and South Africa. I think that's scandalous.
Just tell me what your opinion is of the meat plant.
We should have one here. We should have our own meat plant. But if they can't abide by the rules of what they've got to do, well, I don't know, you see. I mean, it's government run, isn't it?
Well, we have to decide. I mean, the meat plant gets a subvention. It gets a substantial subvention, but we have to decide what we're going to do with it. You know, I mean, I just think of Ramsay Bakery going, and I don't know whether you've been to supermarkets lately, but sometimes there's no bread on the shelves. You know, we had Ramsay Bakery. I mean, admittedly...
Exactly. Let's sort the local problems out first before he starts jetting off to Bahrain and South Africa looking for money. He was made Chief Minister of the Isle of Man, not some international corporation or something. We're an island, a population, and at the moment, and I used to be proud to be Manx. I'm now embarrassed to be Manx. That's just the way I feel, Andy, honestly.
All right. Well, thanks for calling today. We appreciate what you say, Steve.
Okay, thanks. And could you ask, Andy, yeah. could you ask the public, what's their views on them going off to Bahrain and South Africa?
Okay, well, you've asked the question for me. All right, so if anybody's got any views on the Chief Minister and his international trips, obviously he would say, the department would say, he's off to try and drum up trade. We have a big South African contingent on the Isle of Man and lots of businesses, lots of high taxpaying businesses are South African. But any thoughts on the matter with the Chief Minister on international duty? Betty's with us now. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Andy. I'd just like to support Mr. Quilliam, whom I don't know, but I think it seems a dreadful amount for such a small thing, and I can't think what they're thinking about. So I would like to support him, and I don't think he should be fined £10,000.
It's a lot of money.
It is. That's one thing I want to say. And then the other thing is, I don't think we should be sending live cattle over to anywhere, because it's just so cruel, and we should be have the meat planned and dispatch the cattle here. It's much less cruel and kinder.
And do you agree with what Sean said about the fact that there's something psychological about seeing a lorry full of live animals going off the Isle of Man, plainly going to a slaughterhouse across?
I just think it's horrible. Yes, it's completely horrible. So those are two of the things I want to say. And there's one more thing I want to say.
Okay.
And it's probably not terribly important. It's not, doesn't, has anything to do with either of those things. But I'd like to ask you a question. Why is it that Manx Radio is now having presenters trying to speak over music? This has happened more and more, and it makes it so difficult to know what they're saying. And I can't see the point of it anyway. It's probably considered trendy or something, but I think it's just ridiculous.
Okay. Well, I'll continue to be untrendy and not speak over music, Betty. How about that?
I think that's lovely. Thank you very much, Andy.
Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
Manx Gas is changing its name to Isle of Man Energy. Our vision is to be more than a gas company, so we can offer customers choice in their energy management. We're committed to helping during the energy crisis by offering new solutions and services, like our smart home products, so you can use energy more efficiently. And for the future, we're looking at alternatives to natural gas, such as biogas and green hydrogen, to support the Isle of Man's green energy transition. Find out more at isleofmanenergy.im. Energy for every generation.
We are number one. We are family run. Mike's Motors. Mike's Motors.
All the nice motors are at Mike's Motors. From cars you can cruise in to motorhomes you can all snooze in. Whether you want to plug it in overnight or plug through muddy fields all day, no one has a better selection of quality used motors. So come and see why Mike's Motors are better by miles.
Mike's Motors.
Call 823 200. Click mikesmotors.im.
When you save a little money, it means a lot these days.
If you're looking for bathrooms and tiles, you'll always find something new in store at Pacesetter. For surprisingly affordable prices and excellent choice, search online for Pacesetter Douglas. Or better still, visit the Pacesetter Bathroom and Tile Showroom on Harris Terrace and see the new styles in store.
You can get the best of everything, where the price is twice as nice.
The biggest 80s party show hits the Villa Marina on October 20th. We'll make you feel shiny and new with the night out you've been dreaming of. So put your hands together, get in the groove, and spin right round, baby, to dozens of chart-topping 80s classics, from Wham to the Weather Girls. Dress to impress and get ready to jitterbug down the Atlanta Highway. 80s Live, October 20th. We're never gonna give you up.
This weekend on Manx Radio, our winning weekends continue with your chance to win £200 to spend at Haldane Fisher Stores in Douglas or Ramsey. To win, all you need to do is take part in our winning weekend all day Saturday and Sunday, and join us on Monday in Alex in the afternoon, where we'll announce who the lucky winner is. So join us this weekend to be a winner with Haldane Fisher in Douglas and Ramsey and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, the world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon, and let's go to the lines again. Julian's on. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Want to talk about the food thing with meats, and I agree that this thing with Mr. Quillen is ridiculous. So it should just be quashed immediately, point whatever of a millimeter. It's absolutely ridiculous. I was just going to say, the media are also kind of pointing us towards alternatives to meat, like insects, edible insects, and making burgers out of them and steaks and everything. However, there are a couple of interesting studies on that. One of them is from the University of Medical Sciences in Tabriz, and what they're finding is that the hard shell of an insect is made up of a thing called chitin, C-H-I-T-I-N, and what they found was is that our bodies are not capable of processing that because it's alien to us, and what they found was that it was actually making it sort of an antigen, so it was actually reducing the immune response in people by up to 50% after ingesting this over longer periods of time. So it was almost like it's forcing your immune system to overwork itself all the time. And another study out of Poland in Olsztyn at the University of Veterinary Prevention, and they were saying that there's a lot of parasites in insects, which even after cooking and processing can still have toxins in them that, cause problems afterwards. And then the other thing is saturated fats are now, you know, like proper butter, full fat milks. They're finding that this is a very necessary foodstuff that we need, in muscle production, that kind of thing in our bodies. But insects are extremely low in saturated fats, almost to the point of none.
I've never been drawn to insect burgers, I'll be honest with you, Julian. I've never really sort of seen all that. I mean, and I've seen, obviously, certainly in the Far East, I think, and in the Middle East, they do eat insects and they fry them and what have you. But I've never quite seen the attraction.
No, I mean, if you look at the news and you look at what officially is being stated, you see certain, what you might call celebrities extolling the virtues, like Nicole Kidman was seen recently on a stage eating a locust or whatever. But the reality is, the ones that are putting the big money towards it are the likes of our friend Bill Gates, that's been mentioned before, the Microsoft chap. And he's now the largest landowner of farmland in the US, which is interesting for somebody that is basically a computer nerd. It's interesting. And he seems to want to push everybody towards eating insects. So there is quite a big push towards that, and you are starting to see that in various jurisdictions around the world. But these studies are indicating that they are not really meant for humans to eat.
And where do you stand on the meat plant, Julian? Do you eat meat yourself?
Oh, yes. Yeah, regularly. And it's somewhat worrying to me, you know, especially with the way that prices are going up for transport. To my knowledge, and I've spoken to a few butchers, there's been no local Manx chicken for meat for 10 years on the island.
I was wondering about any poultry. I don't think there's any large-scale poultry farming on the Isle of Man, is there?
No, just for eggs. There's plenty of chickens on the island, but not for meat. So if the boat stopped, say, for a week with, I don't know, bad weather or whatever, once the shelves are empty of chicken, there's no local supply of that, so you'd end up with empty shelves of chickens, if that happened.
Well, we'll see. All right, Julian, I appreciate your call.
Yeah, I think it's important to have some self-sustaining food over here because who knows what's going to happen in the future with transport and all the rest of it. So I think it's important to keep that meat plant open at all costs.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Julian. Good to hear from you. David's our man in line now. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. I just want to come back to the guy that was on about the Chief Minister, Mr. Cannon.
Yeah.
He's a big enough person to defend himself. I'm not defending him. Like, I'm just wanted to put a scenario, what the Chief Minister does for the island as well. He's our international face. And when you're dealing internationally, they want to see the top guys there, don't they, or women. to be talking to. And I don't decry him going out to Bahrain. I don't decry him going to the Tory party and the Labour party thing. You've got to have a presence because he's representing the Isle of Man when he is there. And people, I think, on international thing, the furthest I ever got in Parliament was Guernsey and Jersey. So that's as far as I got. But you definitely had a presence. You pushed a presence out there. Oh, you're from the Isle of Man.
And you think it's important that the top person goes?
I do. I do, because at the end of the day, you're talking to... I think the story was he's meeting one of the crown princes of whatever out there. So he's wanting to see... I'm sure that if you were the top person, you wouldn't want an... I'm going to say it's the wrong word, an underling of somebody out there that just is a civil servant, although some of the civil servants are great and some of the civil servants are poor. But we have a council of ministers there too. What are the other ministers doing and the members? All I see at the minute is when members are feeling frustrated, now they don't get an uplift anymore and they're still getting the fixed fee of 56, whatever it is, a year. They're just sitting back, and then they're starting to throw the stones before even the four terms are up.
Interesting. I know I've chatted to a few people lately who have views on backbenchers, so we'll see as the term goes on.
I don't mind if backbenchers are there pushing things along, making decisions. I hear Mr. Thomas this morning talking about the promenade walkway. Why aren't we doing it? And then doing another plan for... I hope he doesn't want to put 2 or 3 metres wall on it, so we can't even see out to sea.
Okay. All right. Thanks, David.
Ta-ra, boy.
Cheers now. 12 minutes before one on Man in Line.
Big news. We're living a dual lifestyle. Lifestyle Furniture has arrived at Tynwald Mills, and to celebrate, we're giving you 20% off during our extra special launch weekend. That's 20% off absolutely everything in the boutique collections at our brand new second home, from luxurious sofas and beds to elegant decor. Lifestyle Furniture at the Mill, a new home for fresh style. Find us in the courtyard, Tynwald Mill, St John's. 20% offer ends at 5 p.m. on Monday the 3rd of October.
Need something to brighten up the autumn months? Treat yourselves to a glitzy night at the Manin Hotel. Enjoy a glass of Prosecco on arrival, 3-course a la carte dinner, superb entertainment, plus a night stay and breakfast too, all just £185 per couple. Join us on Friday the 14th of October for an unforgettable night of music with a tribute to Michael Bublé. Visit maninhotel.im to book or call 60 25 55 now.
Concerned, confused or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
Fly with Loganair from the Isle of Man and save up to 15% on over 1 million seats during the big summer sale with promo code SUN15, including flights to Birmingham and London City.
Fly with me. I want to take you there. Precious moments of this journey.
Book between 21st and 29th September inclusive at loganair.co.uk. Travel from 24th of October, subject to availability.
This evening at 6, join me, Fiona McArdle, for Chachlé.
There's too much choice.
Breaking the weather.
He was passionate. In fact, probably driven would be a better description.
He was always brimming with ideas and enthusiasm.
It's a supernatural place, which is hard to get to.
Heritage can be something that happened yesterday.
That's this evening at 6 o'clock. Chachlé with me, Fiona McArdle.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and a green future.
Mike's with us now. Hello, Mike.
Hello there. I've never rung before, so bear with me. I heard, turn the radio on to hear Sean talking about the meat plant and farming in general. Now, I agree with him wholeheartedly. I come from a small farming village in the UK on the Lambourne Downs. When I left school in 1976, there was four farms in that village. The biggest one employed over 40 lads. The big one's gone. Two of the others are gone. The only one that's left is what I would call a gentleman farmer who employs about four lads now, I think. And he made his money selling fields for the biggest estate in Swindon, basically. And he can afford to run at a loss. The village is dying because the finance industry moved into Swindon with cheap mortgages and relocation packages. All the house prices went through the roof. You're starting to see a parallel, I hope. And the locals can't afford to live in the village. So it's all people from outside, and the village is dying, and the Isle of Man will die if people don't wake up. The meat from on the Isle of Man is lovely. Whether it's from the short food miles or whatever, I don't measure the quality or whatever. All I know is it's a lovely meat to cook. It's lovely to taste.
And do you mind that it costs more, though, Mike?
No. Everybody wants everything too cheap nowadays. And this has been going for years. We're going to get unstuck. A lot of people are going to go into negative equity because they borrowed too much. The mortgage lenders and everything. When I first had my first mortgage, it was maximum three times your wages. Last time I got a mortgage, I haven't got one now, I was offered five times my wages, which I refused. It's ridiculous. You can't keep screwing the prices down.
Okay.
The economy won't work.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Mike, for a first-time caller, that was fantastic. Call back again.
Okay. Well, just one other thing before we go.
Okay.
There's a lot of people saying, oh, well, the UK do this, the UK do that. I am English. The UK have mucked the country up terribly. And there are a lot of people calling for the power stations, the one in Peel, to be levelled. And at the end of its life, the one in Paul Rose to be got rid of, and we buy everything from the UK. My countrymen, if they're short of electric, and they're going to be, because we normally supply them from Peel most winters. I live opposite the Peel power station. If they're short of electric, the first people they'll shut off is the Isle of Man.
All right.
There's too many people in England don't like the Isle of Man.
All right, Mike. Well, thanks for calling today. We're just about out of time. Thanks for those points. I just want to get to... I just wonder whether you can help me on this. And this is from Una, who just said, while working in my garden yesterday afternoon, I had to do a double take yesterday. And the main reason I did a double take was a toast rack-style tram drove along Raphael Road in Douglas, minus a horse, but on black wheels. I wonder if this was a test drive with an idea to convert the trams for use on the section of promenade from the Villa Marina to Victoria Pier. Have to say it was a wonderful sight. Anybody got any information on this possibility? A toast rack style tram driving along Raphael Road in Douglas, minus horse, on black wheels. If you know anything about that, can you tell me? Because it's very interesting. A message about, I heard the article, this is Mike who said, I heard the article about vulnerable children being exploited on the Isle of Man and the steps that are being put in place. However, it is important that children have somebody who they can trust and confide in. With the current staffing within children and families, some children have multiple social workers, usually agency social workers, which is not in the child's best interest. Where have all the experienced, known, respected staff gone, and what steps are Manx Care taking to recruit and retain experienced staff, especially people who are familiar with the Isle of Man, other agencies and residents? I believe there are a number of cases waiting to be heard at the Employment Tribunal. Well, thank you for that. Thanks for the information. Message in from Alan, who said, You're such a fibber, Andy. You talk of the music at the start and the end of your programme. Well, yes, I think you're right, Alan. But we'll gloss over that, shall we? The exception that proves the rule. And Samantha said, I want to invent the term Manx wash. We've heard of whitewash and greenwash. If anything is Manx, let's find out how Manx it is. She's talking about meat in particular as well. So no more Manx wash. Let's find out what of our food is exactly Manx. Thanks for calling today. Thanks for getting in touch. Thanks to producer Howie Kane. We're back tomorrow.
WINT.